in a week's time, because that's how long the boys are going to be away for. In the meantime, Channel 7's Alana Smith and Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets filling in. Guys, how many alarms did you set last night for an early start again?
I set two, but I also had the human alarm of the two-year-old who, you know, very conveniently woke me up about seven times last night. So
you haven't had a lot of sleep at all?
Not a lot, but when you get outside and it's 5 degrees, you're awake.
You tend to snap into it. Gleeso, you're up in the hills, so...
Yeah, cold as a mother-in-law's kiss it is up there. But I've been practicing. I've just finished on tour. You might be able to tell from my... husky voice. I was up at 5:30 on Saturday morning. I was up at 4:30 yesterday morning. And I thought I'd better go to bed because
you think?
I'm kind of doing this arse about, aren't I? So, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning.
Jeez, fair bit
a button.
Fair bit on, and already I'm just looking over at the board and Bernard Tomic is on the board. And that was something that I could smell a mile away. Both of you love sport. I don't think there's going to be anybody in this studio that's going to say, you know what, I think we should go easy on the man.
Well, we could get Waleed Ali on and he could say, come on, man, that poor kid, he's worth so much money.
Yeah, we'll have a bit to say about Bernard. But I must say, Gleeso, I went to an 80s party on Saturday night and getting my outfit together, I was thinking about you.
Yes, well, the 80s were a great time for me.
But could you just go into your wardrobe and, like, do you have some of the old gear?
I've got a pair of pants with an expletive all over them that I used to wear on stage every night. And just, you know, it wasn't like I was letting enough expletives out myself. I had to have them all over my pants as well. So, yeah, no, there's still some 80s gear around, a bit of stonewash.
Should have come over. Jeez. Raided your cupboard.
Oh, Alana, you got to tell us, who did you go as? Or was it just 80s themed?
Yeah, it was just 80s themed. All the ugly things in my wardrobe, basically.
Really?
Lots of fluoro leggings, you know, just
really?
Bad combos.
Hey, yep. I've just got to Google Alana Smith 80s and see what comes up.
A mesh glove.
John pants.
Yeah, a scrunchie. Big side pony.
Like, it sounds like we're begging for photos on our Twitter.
There were some
just
very
saying.
Good outfits, though. Hulk Hogan was there.
Well, he's an icon of the 80s, old Hulk.
Yeah.
You try being an 80s party. I mean, you know, are you going as John Candy? Yes, I've had that recommendation already three times. Very soon, the top three. And is South Australia getting its own big icon? We're going to find out next. Ruined It's for Breakfast, Triple M. We scan the headlines for the big stories so you don't have to. And... big is probably the word that we're looking for in the first story in the top three this morning.
Yeah, big is the operative word, Hato. There are claims by Premier Jay Weatherall that the world's biggest lithium battery, which is of course headed our way, will provide a tourism boom for the state's mid-north.
Absolutely.
People are going to flock to see this thing.
Oh, yeah, because I tour around Australia a lot. I drive lots and lots of miles. I've seen the big banana. Coffs Harbour, the big pineapple, that's up in Queensland, yep. Sunshine Coast somewhere. The big prawn, that's at Ballina. The big clam, that's one of my favourite ones. And the big merino, used to be at Goulburn.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But to have the big battery, I mean, what they could have next to it is the world's biggest handheld power screwdriver that you slip onto that lithium ion battery. Whole range of different massive tools up there.
One of the quotes I like in this article, I think it's from a tourism manager in Clare or something. He's saying, build it and they will come. Oh, that's the attitude to attract the tourists.
Straight out of Field of Dreams.
I mean, there's going to be plenty of employees there working on this project, so perhaps they'll explore the region. But to cite the battery itself as a tourist attraction, I'm not sure about that.
Follow the yellow tape. Do not step inside the yellow tape. Do not touch the battery. Yeah, look, I think it's clutching at straws. What about, we should have a big great white shark at the entrance to South Australia.
More than likely. I think with this big battery, I just hope that there's like, can you imagine if it had the bit where you could put your tongue there on it just to see if I'm like a mobile battery?
Do you know,
I'd love that.
You know, there's still deaths every year from people putting their tongues on 9-volt batteries.
Yeah, but a lie on lithium, whatever battery is. See, we're not 100% sure.
You guys know more about batteries than I do. All right. Number two, what a terrific win for Port Adelaide. 34 points down in the West at Subiaco and came back to win by 32 points. I guess they've got the top eight scalp that they hadn't been able to get. They've reclaimed fourth spot. This is what their coach had to say.
Mentally, it was a big test when they kicked seven in a row, though, to be able to turn that around the second half.
Yeah, it's bloody impressive, wasn't it, to come back in Perth against a team that's in pretty good form, to respond, you know, and to show some real, I don't know, grunt and ticker for the boys to not give it away, and they were pretty determined to make sure this was a significant day. And you should say, why don't you like that every week? But questions keep getting asked, and I suppose they got sick of him.
Yeah, look, I watched the whole game. It was fantastic. Charlie Dixon, he's found his spot, mate. He's so tough up front.
Yeah,
he's just
unreal, goals.
Kicking five goals. Robbie Gray, is it not just the not just South Australian reporters or commentators call him a superstar? Everyone calls him a superstar. He's and yesterday he was in fine form as well.
Yeah, no debating that. Big turnaround in their coach, and of course they're hosting North Melbourne next weekend, so they'd be penciling that in as a win that they should get. So they should get on a roll.
They ruined my tips anyway.
Who didn't? Seriously. GWS with another draw. What's going on?
Unbelievable.
All right. Rounding out our top three. Unfortunately, the gorgeous SA pair on house rules. Kate and Harry, they went down last night in the big GF.
Yeah, well, look, Queensland versus South Australia, I think it augurs very badly for Queensland versus New South Wales on Wednesday night. Any win that Queensland get, they just love it up in Queensland. They're so parochial,
yeah,
and they support their people. And I guess, I mean, is there any contingent of fan input, like, for the winners of house rules, or does it all come from the judges?
No, it was all the judges. It's just such, I haven't watched a lot of it, but I did watch last night, and they had such different spaces. It's so hard to compare. Like what the Queensland couple did do though, with virtually nothing, was pretty incredible.
Right.
And I guess the silver lining for Kate and Harry is that they now get that space. That's their house. So
well, that's absolutely
they didn't get
right.
the 200K, but they did get the nice reno.
It's better than if you win My Kitchen Rules where you get nothing. Except you get to say, oh yeah, I tried a failed restaurant. But anyway, moved on.
So bad luck. They were good sports and well done getting on to the grand final, Kate and Harry.
Yeah, good on them. You can tweet live during the show at Triple M Adelaide. 24 past 7, Triple M's ruined it's for breakfast. The boys back next week. In the meantime, Channel 7's Alana Smith and Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets filling in. Lovely.
Lovely to be here. And we've got a special guest joining us now. Very good morning, Jess Adamson from Channel 7.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Now, you've got an exclusive, Jess, with Kyle Chalmers. What's he had to say to you?
Well, we did set up an interview with Kyle last week, and the thing that struck me about this chat, which we've been trying to have with him ever since he had surgery 5 weeks ago for that racing heart condition, was that he just speaks so freely and from the heart. And Alana, as you would appreciate more than anyone, so many of the sports people that we talk to these days are really tightly media managed, mm-hmm. but Kyle is just... he's just such a ripping young man, and he really opens up in this interview about swimming, about what his real passion is, and about his future. So it really is a fascinating chat. One of the things that I asked him was what his number one passion is in life. And we know that, you know, his dad, Brett, played AFL footy, played for the Port Magpies, the Crows, and Port Adelaide. And let's have a little listen to what he says about what his number one passion is.
So swimming or footy, what's your number one passion right now?
Footy. Footy, NBA and soccer, they're my biggest passions, but swimming is my life and my job. So it's hard. I'm a massive sports nuffy.
I understand. I understand that. I mean, there's sometimes when I'm up on stage and I think, oh, I'd rather be playing footy.
Yeah. It's so true, isn't it? And he talks about that, you know, swimming can be a bit of a grind. He wanted to play footy ever since he was a little boy. And when he got to the World Championships when he was about 15, he obviously realised that he had a real future in swimming. So he stuck with it. But in actual fact, instead of following that black line up and down by himself every day, he says he'd rather be doing a team sport like footy. And we ask him whether he's given up on his AFL dream. So you'll hear the answer to that tonight as well. Later this week, the World Champs kick off in Budapest, and he won't be swimming at it because of the surgery, but he will be there cheering on his teammates. He also talks about his relationship with Maddie Wilson and where that is at. And he talks about the Commonwealth Games because that is his goal right now. We discuss, you know, how tricky it can be to stay motivated when you win everything or the pinnacle in sport at the age of 18. You know, how hard is it to keep motivated between the major meets? But there's someone really special that he'll be thinking about and swimming for at the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast next year, so we'll have a chat about that. And then on to Tokyo, of course, if he makes it, he'll be 21 when he qualifies and 22 when he swims. But he says that after Tokyo, in fact, everything will be on the table and he'll have a really big think about his future. And in fact, you might be surprised about what he says about his future at that point in his life.
Sounds like a fascinating chat you've got for us tonight, Jess. Just curious, because Kyle, it came as a shock when we heard that he had to have heart surgery, but he had previously had some and it didn't work. Are there any guarantees that this will work?
Yeah, it's a really good question. He had had it before, and so he was pretty nervous because, you know, it's like ripping a Band-Aid off. There's never a good time to have surgery when you're, you know, a teenage superfish. But they did it this time without general anaesthetic. So he describes in the interview about, you know, how confronting that was because he was pretty alert during the procedure. But in actual fact, it was a huge success. And he's been told that there's only 1% chance of it returning now. We went down and had a look at him back in the pool last week, and he's looking absolutely fantastic and he's swimming well, and we have a chat to his coach as well. So fingers crossed it is all good from here. He is absolutely rapt with the way that the surgery went. As we know, for that condition, he had supraventricular tachycardia. I've become a bit of an expert in that condition now.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Jess Adamson from Channel 7, and that'll be on in full tonight at 6 p.m. on the 7 News.
Yeah, look forward to hearing more.
Thanks, Jess.
Fascinating. Thanks, Jess.
Talk soon.
7 News, number one for over a decade. After 7:30, is your best mate trying to bite you? The statistics say bloody oath. 20 to 8, Ruined It's for Breakfast on Triple M. The boys are back next Monday. Filling in the meantime, Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and Channel 7's Alana Smith. You can chat live with them on Twitter as well. Get tweeting at Triple M Adelaide. Guys, in the news, there's a very alarming statistic when it comes to people's dogs sort of being on the up when it comes to biting and attacking their own kids.
Yeah, that's right. Big story in the Advertiser today. Looking at some of the numbers they've put together in the 2015-16 year, 84 kids under 9 were attacked and had to be hospitalised as a result from dog bites. It all comes in the wake of some new laws being introduced for mandatory de-sexing of dogs, which they believe will cut these numbers. As well as wanting to know your stories about dog bites or whether you've fallen victim. We were just chatting about it and I'm not sure. Would de-sexing of female dogs limit the, I don't know, is that only relevant to male dogs? Or?
It's a really good question because it's all about what they believe, from what I can tell online, is the testosterone level in dogs making them feel macho and everything like that. Take that away from them and they'll calm down. And I know that I've seen my own dogs, when they get de-sexed, they go from, you know, hyperactivity to just really chilled out. So there is merit in males. Females, oh, if someone can help us out with that, we'd really appreciate it. If a vet knows, if you can de-sex a female dog and have it any effect on its behaviour.
Yeah, poor little Matt on the front page of the Advertiser, he's jumped into to protect his 3-year-old friend. He's 9 years old, nearly had his lip bitten off. So it's fairly heavy. And look, I guess it comes down to breeds of dog as well. There's dogs that are probably more prone to attack than other dogs. But then, you get most people will that are dog lovers will say it's more about the owner than the dog itself. But who can get inside the mind of a dog who's protecting its property, protecting its family? So what the dog thinks is obviously the big thing when it comes to being attacked by them.
Also, too, I don't think there's any real sort of guidelines, because my uncle and auntie had 2 chihuahuas and I'm still scared to death of because
what reason?
Well, I don't want to really go into details, Alana. But seriously, like, it's not, I mean, Gleeso, you've been bitten by a dog. I've been bitten by a dog. Alana's lucky enough to have escaped that. But what happened with you?
I went down to see if my brother was about 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. I thought he was at his mate's place and I walked into the backyard and there, Pekingese or those little Shih Tzus or something, jumped up and bit me on the bum.
The bum?
Yeah, I just remember Mrs. Reed. She had me there lying across her lap with my pants down, rubbing my bottom. Right? And that made me feel better. Nineteen. 22.
That's right. So we would love to know, 133353, you know, has your dog attacked? And people, like, you don't have to identify yourself if you don't want, because we understand that if your dog nowadays, like, I've been attacked before and that dog didn't get put down. You got attacked. I don't think that dog got put down.
No.
But nowadays it's commonplace if it bites the wrong person.
Absolutely.
And that's something we're trying to avoid. So 133353, has your dog bitten or attacked? And also too, and can you give us advice if de-sexing a female pet will actually have an effect on that? It's Ruined It's for Breakfast. Ruined It's for Breakfast. The boys back on Monday filling in Channel 7's Alana Smith and Gleeso from the Screaming Jets. 133353. I've also got tickets to go and see Port take on North Melbourne at Adelaide Oval. Thanks to the Port Adelaide Football Club. You can book your tickets now at portadelaidefc.com.au/tickets. And it's all about the rising and scaringly so rising numbers of dog attacks in South Australia, especially with kids under the age of 10. And this is something that's happened to a lot of people. It's happened to Gleeso, it's happened to me. And 133353, we want to know, has your dog attacked? Chris in Lockleys, what's happened, mate?
Well, this actually wasn't a kid that was attacked. A few years ago, we were walking my son's Labrador pup, was about 18 months old. We took it into the dog park, my wife and I, and this other dog, for no reason, ripped its neck open, and the guy tried to do a runner. So we let him go. Some smart fool, they did was they filmed him on his mobile, and they did catch up with the bugger.
Yeah, right. Well, that's another thing, isn't it? Irresponsible dog owners. I mean, if your dog attacks someone or another dog, then you just got to front up, haven't you? Surely.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this guy tried to do a runner because he knew he was in a lot of trouble with this, because the dog did really make a mess of our son's Labrador. It has fully recovered, but it was a very expensive vet bill, but it got all sorted out. We had to, you know, we got the police involved, and they caught up with him from, you know, luckily for somebody else filmed it on him trying to get away with the camera. We decided to let him go because it wasn't worth the hassles, because he's got this fairly vicious dog, and it just wasn't worth, you know, when you knew you could catch up with him later.
It's incredible. You can kind of see where he's coming from, though, in the sense of he knows that once he's caught out, that dog is going to be put down.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, exactly. But you can see why I did a runner, not that we could done it. Mate, thanks so much for your call, Chris.
No worries.
133353, has your dog attacked? Triple M's Ruined It's for Breakfast. 7-8, Triple M's Ruined It's for Breakfast. Mark Ricciuto and Chris Dittmar having a quick breather for the next week until they get back. Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets, Channel 7's Alana Smith back in the big chairs. 133353, we're asking if your dog has ever attacked, because there's a couple of alarming statistics coming out of SA where kids are being bitten by their own pets, which is not a great stat. No. And also too, it's talking about de-sexing your dogs to take that urgency out. But it happens a lot more than probably what's being reported as well.
Well, 50% increase in the last 12 months. It's gone from 40 something to 84 or something in the last 12 months. So that's pretty radical increase.
Yeah.
I think, you know, people are getting these vicious dogs as status symbols and stuff like that. And you really have to take into account that, you know, young kids can often get themselves in situations with animals that, you know, they might think's innocent enough, pulling them on the ears or running around the backyard. And a dog can turn quite quickly if it hasn't had the right training.
Geez, you've got to be bloody careful too. Wayne in Williamstown, is your dog attacked, mate?
Look, guys, how are you?
Good, mate.
Hey, good, thanks.
Cool. It wasn't my dog, actually. I was doing a plumbing job for a client in that region there, and having a lovely chat with a lady there. I finished the job on the way back to the van, and her dog headed on after me, basically, and latched onto my leg as I was just getting into the car.
How big was the dog?
Oh, mate, it wasn't a Rottweiler, it was a Jack Russell.
It's like getting bit on the bum by a Shih Tzu.
Yeah, and look, it was the owner was very apologetic. It wasn't a mangy dog by any means. So I called the office, and they had to cancel the next half a dozen jobs ahead of me so I could get to the doctor for an immediate tetanus injection. Yeah. So there were
was there any history there? Did the owner say this has not happened before? Or? So
she did know it was a little bit territorial, because the part of the yard that I was parked in was separate to the dog yard, and she was unaware that the dog had got out of its little run. So, yeah, I guess it's always been protective of its environment and saw me as an intruder.
Mm.
Yeah, So, yeah, it was all good in the end.
The little dogs can get, quite often they're more territorial than anyone.
They really are. Wayne, you've come clean about being bitten by a Jack Russell, and we're not taking that lightly, mate. Port, North Melbourne, Adelaide Oval, thanks to Port Adelaide Football Club. We'll see you there this week, mate, with a couple of tickets. Thanks for your call.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
No worries. 1-3-3-5-3. Kingsley at Halloran Hill. Has your dog attacked?
I've been attacked when I was a little kid by a rock wheeler. I got my face ripped off.
Oh, jeez.
I'm fine, but I'm not talking about that. I've got a golden Labrador at home. My dog got attacked by a dog at a dog park when he was 6 months old. I got involved to get him off, thank goodness.
Mm.
But now I've got to put up with separation anxiety. I've got my dog on medication. I can't walk my dog around the block unless he's on a lead because he lunges and growls.
Mm.
It's the constant training. It's the constant awareness. Now, I've got a two-year-old, and I'm always on my son's backside, leave my dog alone. They're food-orientated. It's the constant awareness as a dog owner. Like, at this dog park, I'm not going to mention any names, there's dog owners that drink beers at the park and let their dogs run. Like, it's the constant awareness.
Mm.
And that's the empathy that I'm trying to get across.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And point made very clear. Thanks very much, mate. 1-3-3-5-3. Vicky in 2 hours. We're talking about when dogs have attacked. What's happened?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how you going?
Good, love. What's happened?
Yeah, well, I used to have a blue heel across. And he got a bit grumpy a couple of times. Luckily, nothing major, just a couple of nips. So I did the responsible thing. I went out and bought him a proper blue heeler cattle muzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I used to take him to the supermarket, we used to go for a walk and I'd take him to the supermarket, I used to leave him with the muzzle on so that he, because people thought he was a cute dog and would come up and pat him, and I knew that he wasn't good with that, so I put the muzzle on. And so many times I'd come back from doing a quick, you know, couple of things at the inside, and there'd be people hanging around the dog trying to pat him and that, and he's got his teeth bared back and they're still trying to pat him.
Oh,
and like,
wow.
Yeah, and I'd say, like, I've got a muzzle on. Do you really need to try and do that? Are you stupid? And I would actually ask them if they were stupid, did they want to be bitten? And they get snotty with me, and it's like, hang on a minute, I've done the responsible thing. I've protected my dog, and you're being an idiot.
Yeah. Mm.
So was your dog okay with you, or did it have the muzzle on all the time?
Oh, yeah, No. He was a good dog. He was a great dog. When he was tired, he felt threatened by people coming up to him. So it was 99% of the time, you know, like if I had little kids or something at home, then I would be outside with the dog, with the kids.
Mm.
I never, ever left him for his protection, you know, because kids can forget themselves and get a bit excited and whatnot. And I knew that he sometimes got a bit territorial over a ball or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did the responsible thing. Either I removed him from when there was a lot of kids around, or I stayed out and supervised.
Yeah. No, and that's absolutely true. Vicky, thanks so much for your call. At the end of the day, if your dog attacks someone, it will be put down. Do you want your dog put down or not? That is pretty much the story that we're trying to get across. After 8 o'clock this morning, I'm looking forward on this board where we write down what we're going to do. And in very thick, agitated Dave Gleason handwriting, it says Bernard Tomic. I think you've got something to say.
I scratched it in with a knife.
Yeah, and you got to find out why after 8. 12 past 8, Triple M's Ruined It's for Breakfast. Mark Ricciuto and Chris Dittmar back next Monday. And it's a pleasure to have back in their chairs Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets and Channel 7's Alana Smith. Guys, thank you for covering again.
We love it.
Good to be here.
It's great fun, isn't it?
How good is it when you only have to work for 1 week as well? Yeah, it's fine. You know you're only getting up early for a week, so it's all good.
There is one Aussie that we would love to see that kind of gusto come out of, and unfortunately they're not really putting in the effort, is Bernard Tomic, Dave Gleason.
Now, listen.
Here we go.
Here we go. Turn it up.
Listen.
Australia's legacy in tennis is just about second to none for such a small country, punching above our weight. Rod Laver's, the John Newcombs, Margaret all these great tennis players that have done so much for tennis in the world of sport. And now we have Bernard Tomic. He's bored. Can we just hear him saying he's bored?
Yeah.
I felt a little bit bored out there, you know, to be completely honest with you. You know, I tried at the end and stuff. He managed to win that set 6-3 or 6-4, but it was too late.
He really does sound like he, it's not boredom. It's just that he doesn't care, I think. He's but there is a former Adelaide Crow, Matthew Liptak, who is now an orthopaedic surgeon. He's actually written an open letter to Bernard Tomic. He says, first off, you don't know me or perhaps care to know me, but current events compel me to reach out. Tennis is a solo sport, and I can't imagine the mental struggles you have. But believe me, we all want the best for you. And he's talking about Australian sports fans because we love our sports stars, don't we? We're kind
absolutely.
Of
oh, really?
Yeah, heroes, icons.
Everyone
yeah.
jumps on the bandwagon at the Aussie Open and whatever when Aussie's on court.
I mean, what I'd like to put a bit of Leighton Hewitt's tenacity into Bernard Tomic. Life is full of many challenges, Matthew Liptak goes on to say, and being physically talented is your gift to be enjoyed and embraced in your youth. In your youth, I think, is a very important statement because as any football player knows, as any professional sportsman who's had to move on to the next part of their career knows, it's over in the blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And don't waste it.
Yeah.
But I guess that's professional is an important word in this. I just think elite level sport is not about going through the motions. So if that's how he feels about tennis at the moment and he's just treating it like a job and he says, well, I've done the work in my early years so I can do that, that's such an arrogant attitude. He, as Martina Navratilova has suggested, just needs to take some time out and work out if he actually wants to be there or not. Because why should people pay money to go and watch him? Even if he's losing in the first round, why should anyone pay to go and watch that?
If he was trying his heart out and losing in the first round, we wouldn't care. But to get up there and say, I'm 24 and you guys can only dream of what I have and what I can buy. If I wanted to buy something, mud, I'll just go and buy it. That's a pretty bad version of his accent.
I liked it.
For his father, who's about, I don't know, a couple of sandwiches short.
He's had his own issues.
As it would appear. He's even come out and said he's ashamed of what his son's saying. But I, on that same thing, I might throw a bit of the blame at his father for his arrogant attitude. And look, I mean, as Matthew Liptak says, it is a solo sport. It is extremely hard to rise against the challenges that come to you. But let's look at guys like Andre Agassi, Roger Federer,
Pete Sampras,
all these guys had won Grand Slams by the time they were 24. And I'm looking at Bernard Tomic, I'm saying, mate, your time is very shortly going to be over and you'll just be an also-ran when you could have, as everyone says, oh, he's so talented, why doesn't he use his talent? And if you just end up an also-ran, then that's on his shoulders, not anybody else's.
Yeah, at risk of sounding like a fence sitter, because there's nothing worse. I don't mean to come across that way. The only thing I take out of this is, and Jess Adamson brought it up before, that so many of our athletes are so heavily media managed that we never hear what they're actually thinking. So he has been honest, at least, in a very disrespectful way, though. And if that's how he honestly feels and his heart's not in it, then don't do it.
Yeah, I would say have a nice long glass of cement and HT. Yeah, harden up a little bit and get out. Find the inspiration that you need. I know. I mean, I've been in a band 30 years. And it hasn't always just been beer and Skittles, a lot of beer.
But if he wastes his talent, well, that's his problem.
That's exactly right.
Don't play if you don't want to play.
That's right. Go and do something else that you don't earn $10 million by the time you're 24-year-old.
Or a Lamborghini.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That wasn't fence sitting, by the way. I thought that was really well balanced. Thank you very much. It's ruined into breakfast. The boys are back next week. You can chat live at Triple M Adelaide with Gleeso and Alana from Channel 7.